In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ashamed, confused, frightened. That's what the disciples were on the evening of the first day of the week, after their master had been taken from them and cruelly executed. While their Lord was still with them, Peter had said, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Within hours, though, their brave words were shown to be hollow. When the officers and soldiers from the high priest had arrested their Lord in the garden, they had run away. For all of their promises, they hadn't been willing to face death with him. Surely this had lain heavy on their hearts since that night. Jesus, their beloved teacher, had been killed, and they had failed him. Now they heard that his tomb had been violated. Who had done it, and with what purpose, wasn't clear. Some had spoken of a resurrection, but they had yet to see any evidence of that. A less extraordinary explanation was that their teacher's enemies hadn't been satisfied with merely crucifying him. Now that they had taken his life, they also had taken his body as well, denying him even the rest of death. And if their hatred would drive them to that, where would it end? The disciples were terrified that they would be next. Jesus had said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now they feared that is precisely what would happen, that they would follow him to a cross. At any moment, they expected to hear the temple police pounding up the stairs, breaking down the door, arresting them who were with the Nazarene Jesus. On the evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were ashamed, confused, frightened, huddled behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. And in the midst of their shame and confusion and fright, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." What wonderful words to hear. Not at all what they might have expected, had they expected Jesus to appear and speak to them. They had reason to be afraid of what he would say. Even if he didn't condemn them for fleeing in fear, would they be able to stand the disappointment in his eyes? They had been his closest friends, men on whom he depended. And they had let him down, abandoned him when it counted the most. You and I can probably identify with them. We all know what Jesus did for us, his perfect life and his innocent death in our place. We owe him everything. But how have we repaid him? We can sing, "Were the whole realm of nature mine," that were a tribute far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. But do you respond to Jesus' love with your all? You might promise to be loyal, sincerely desire never to betray your Savior by an unkind word or lustful thought or self-centered act. But how long do you succeed? Isn't it the case that even your strongest resolve to resist temptation, to avoid falling into that all too familiar sin, quickly ends once again in failure? Or if by chance you seem to overcome that particular sin for a time, isn't it the case that you always end up falling into some other sin or vice? The fact is that St. John had it exactly right when he wrote, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Our own experience bears out the truth of the Lord's warning to Cain. Sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you. All the more wonderful then to hear Jesus greet his wayward and unfaithful disciples with the gracious and loving words, "Peace be with you." Yet spoken by Jesus, these are more than just gracious words. When Jesus said to the stormy wind and sea, "Peace, be still," the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. When he said to the girl who had died, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise," immediately the girl got up. Thus, when Jesus says, "Peace be with you," you have peace. By speaking peace to them, Jesus addresses his disciples' shame and confusion and fear. All of these things are overcome and resolved when he speaks to them, "Peace." After he says this, Jesus shows them his hands and his side. He submits himself to them for examination, that they may know it is him, their teacher, their Lord, their Savior, in the flesh, risen from the dead and alive forevermore. He wants them to be certain, to know beyond even the smallest shadow of a doubt, that he is risen, that he is risen indeed, just as the women and the angels testify. They needed to know this, because it changes everything. If he had not been raised, they would have had no gospel to preach. Their faith in him would have been futile. They would still be in their sins. But because he has been raised, their sins are forgiven. Their faith is vindicated, and they have glorious good news to proclaim. Good news about Jesus, who is delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. And that's exactly what Jesus tells them. He said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Again, the gift of peace. It must be important for Jesus to have repeated himself. But perhaps he does so because now they've seen the basis for this peace. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man was lifted up on a cross, the cause of the wounds in his hands and in his side, was lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now the one who has been given and sent by the Father, who was lifted up for the salvation of sinners, provides for sinners to receive the message which will bring forgiveness and salvation to them. He commissions and sends his disciples to bring the fruits of his saving work to the world, to apply them to the lives of sinners. Not only does he say, "I am sending you," he continues by breathing on his disciples and saying to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." He breathes on them as God had breathed into Adam the breath of life, or as in Ezekiel's vision of the valley of dry bones, the breath of the Lord God had come from the four winds and breathed on the slain so that they could live. The breath of the Lord conveys life to the dead. And that's what Jesus was sending his disciples to do, equipping them to give life to sinners by forgiving them their sins. "If you forgive the sins of anyone," he tells them, "they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." What Jesus earned and accomplished on his cross, he gives his disciples authority to dispense. They speak his word. Those whom he sends go out with his authority. When he cured the paralytic, whose four friends had lowered him down through the roof, Jesus showed that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Now, by telling his disciples, "If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven," he is sharing his authority with them. He doesn't just commission them to announce forgiveness in his name. He says, "If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven." This is why Luther has written that when we receive absolution, that is forgiveness, from the pastor, it is from God himself. By such absolution, our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. It is as we sing, the words which absolution give are his who died that we might live. The minister whom Christ has sent is but his humble instrument. On his ashamed, confused, and frightened disciples, the risen Lord bestowed peace through his word. And he has given you also to hear his word of peace, to receive his forgiveness from those he sends as from his own mouth. In holy baptism, using water from a pastor's hand and words from his mouth, God washed your sins away. By holy absolution, Jesus provides for you to hear from your pastor his own word to you, "I forgive you all your sins." In the Holy Supper, he comes in the bread and in the wine, which he says is his true body and blood, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of all your sins. In these ways he comes to you still, no less mysteriously than he came to his disciples, but certainly no less truly either. Comes to you so that you may know and be certain that he loves you, that he died for you, that he has forgiven you, and that he lives in you. He does all of this personally for you, so that you may trust him, and so that by believing, you may have life in his name. Thank God. Amen. The peace. peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.